T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Alrighty, third hour coming from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage on this Wednesday. Around the country here, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM Channel 206 on radio.com. Of course, Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. If you wanted to get back in, whether it's the load management stuff, whether it's the college football playoff stuff, which we will get back into right about now. By the way, Tommy Bowden, ACC Network analyst, former head coach over Clemson, he's going to join us coming up next. There's not a... I don't think we missed anything in the first hour. I mean, that's how we started the show. It's the first installment of the rankings here. You know, our big gripe, if you could even call it that, is Minnesota's kind of low.
Mm-hmm.
A matter of fact, the lowest rated ranked an undefeated
Power Five
has ever been in the short history of the rankings here. So it's a bit of an eye opener. Now, I wonder. I know their strength of schedule is not very good. They get a chance, obviously. They play Penn State this weekend. But I wonder if Minnesota had a different pedigree. And that's where the human influence.
There's no doubt about it.
They're not sitting there at 17.
There's no doubt about it.
They're 12.
And that's my issue, BT.
I hear you.
Right? It's not that, you know, yes, I know they haven't played anybody, so to speak, but they are sick. They're 8-0 right now. Their strength of schedule is rather weak, and they had close games against Fresno State, who they had to go in double overtime to beat. They had a close game against Georgia Southern, and they only beat by a field goal. But what I've seen with this team is that every week they've gotten better, right? They weren't a college football playoff, you know, potential at the beginning of the season. It was just Minnesota. And then all of a sudden you start getting the week 4 and 5, and then they're beating, you know, Illinois by 25 points or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And they beat Nebraska, and then Rutgers they blew out, Maryland they blow out. So the teams that they're supposed to, you know, lay the hammer to,
yeah,
they're laying the hammer to.
Yeah.
And so sitting at 8-0, facing Penn State, hosting Penn State, it's you got to put them in the conversation, because if they win this game, I don't see them getting back up to towards the top, and that's a shame. That was the only gripe that we had.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because you trace back to last year, and I don't think the committee does this, but just out of curiosity, I went back to see, you know, they won at Wisconsin. Remember, mm-hmm. they won that last game against Wisconsin. They beat them up pretty good, 37-14, and then they won their bowl game against Georgia Tech. Granted, you know, it's a middling bowl, and Georgia Tech isn't anything. It was the Quick Lane Bowl,
but
still.
But Georgia Tech is tough because of the way they play.
They're tricky to prepare for, even though it's better because you have a month, because you have that respite in between the final game. But
that's a good point.
You know, they didn't come in with a ton of shine this preseason. There wasn't a lot of oomph behind Minnesota, and you know, it like when you build a program, you've got to carve out an imprint before you get handed anything.
That's right.
You know, it's just the way it is. Same with the Heisman Trophy. Generally, you got to make a little noise the year before you start to get traction.
And we
for
saw
the next
that
year.
With UCF the year that they claimed the national championship when they weren't given a shot.
That's
because
right.
They didn't have the pedigree. They had to work their way. This is when Scott Frost was still their head coach. They had to work their way to respectability in a lot of people's minds, plus their strength of schedule and all those other things. But they did what they needed to do. The other side of this, BT, this is the top side, the part that matters for the college football playoff, at least today. This is obviously going to change. It's starting to become clear that when you look at, you know, the top two SEC squads, who are LSU and Alabama, really the top three, LSU at 2, Alabama at 3, and then Georgia down at number 6, not that that's far, but down at number 6, if you're not in at least the SEC championship game, you're not sneaking in. Like, remember 2 years ago, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Alabama snuck in. I think it was 2 years ago because they didn't play for the college football. They didn't play for the SEC championship. They lost to Auburn, and Auburn played Georgia. Georgia beat them in the SEC championship. Georgia and Alabama got in, even though they didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening this year. We had this conversation last
week. Would Georgia play Oklahoma in that game? They played Baker?
No, I think they played Clemson. Didn't they play Clemson? I can't remember now.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah,
I can't remember.
Kinda, I got you.
But my point is, I don't see that happening right now. It's almost like the committee, by putting Alabama and LSU where they are,
mm-hmm.
are saying whoever loses that game is likely to fall behind Georgia. I don't see Georgia losing again until they potentially get to the SEC championship.
I don't think that's fair. If your premise is right, they're going to fall that. If you lose by 3 points or you lose by 7 points and it's a well-played game, you drop the seven?
They played Oklahoma, by the way.
They did play Oklahoma.
Well, no, I think they would drop to six, and Georgia would move up. See what I mean? Like, everything would move up, and they would fall behind.
Okay. Okay.
And so now all of a sudden, you're behind. You're the third SEC team in the top six.
And you don't get another chance to play.
And you don't get another chance.
That's fair.
So you're done, man.
Yeah, so strategically.
This game is humongous for.
Well, tell us something we don't know. It's the biggest game of the year.
But still. But I think last week, even, because we were talking about it differently, because we didn't see Georgia sitting at six.
Uh-huh.
We saw Georgia as farther down. So, mm-hmm. yeah, LSU could lose by a field goal to Alabama and be at like five and find a way back in, mm-hmm. if some of the other teams above them lose. But that doesn't happen now, because whereas Georgia is situated with three teams, SEC teams, in the top six,
uh-huh.
whoever loses Alabama LSU is falling below Georgia. That, mm-hmm. that has to happen.
Okay,
right?
Let me see.
And so those two SEC teams are going to have the more direct path towards the college football playoff than the team that loses this weekend in Alabama LSU. I think more than anything, we talked about the lower teams, like the Minnesotas that didn't get into the, you know, close enough to make a shot at it, even if they go undefeated. You look at being 2-3 with LSU, the committee is playing some tricks, you know, with how they're positioning these SEC squads, so that the loser of this Alabama LSU game this weekend might not get a shot at all,
which
is crazy.
Don't you get a sense? And I don't know that they're this devious or this they plotted out.
I feel like they are being devious, man.
Maybe they are.
I do.
But I feel like Penn State's a really good team.
Not in a bad way. Not, I don't mean devious in the negative connotation.
But in a creative way, way to spur conversation and obviously illuminate the sport further and get clicks and attention, which is obviously monetized.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, I know Penn State's good. Do I think they're the fourth best team in the country? I don't. Doesn't mean I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
I think they put Penn State there, or at least a theory. They put Penn State there because they don't think they're going to be able to finish off this treacherous run.
They got a hike, man. They got a rough.
They got Iowa after this. Iowa.
No, they have Indiana. So Minnesota, Indiana, who is improving. Michael Penix Jr.
He's hurt. He's
out
for the year.
Quarterback is out for the year. And their backup, former starter, Peyton Ramsey, has actually turned to a really good player the last couple of weeks. And is probably as exciting to watch, because Indiana feels like they're on the come a little bit. Indiana 7-2.
No, I'm not.
Like, people forgetting.
I'm not saying
they got crushed.
It's been a good year for the Hoosiers.
Right.
No doubt.
I did the Ohio State game at the beginning of the year. They got crushed.
Every Hoosier fan would take this mid-November every single season. 7-2, one loss to Ohio State.
Yep. No, well, two losses. They lost to
Ohio State. No, I'm saying one of the two losses.
And the other
one
was Michigan State, who's ranked in the top 25.
Yeah, Michigan State's down this year.
True.
I mean, if they played, he goes to score that Michigan State game. Not that it matters
just
to the college football rankings, but if they played Michigan State tomorrow.
Michigan State, they lost by 9. So
yeah. Was that in East Lansing or was that
40-31, it was at home. That's. No, it was at East Lansing.
It was at Michigan State.
Yeah.
And they lost by 9. They gave up 40. Michigan State doesn't score a lot of points, though.
No.
Indiana's offense is better than their defense. That's a fair statement, right?
Right.
All right, so back to what I was going to say, though. If Penn State, which I believe has a little bit of a weak grip on that 4 spot, I think.
I think you're right with that.
Clemson, I can see Clemson kicking it.
Yeah, Clemson's going to jump them. Clemson's jumping somebody.
But then why would they put Penn State? Like, it's almost like they're telling Clemson, you're better than this, wake up, and
that's right.
You need to start showing it.
That's right. That's
we're not going to put you in a position where you can't overcome this, but we're going to send a little message that you have not been what we thought you would
they
be.
They made this about Clemson and not about Penn State. Here, Penn State, you're going to be our token to,
that's
to,
kind of what
to,
I feel,
to
right?
challenge Clemson.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, which is why if you're looking at 32 points at Clemson NC State, you better take 32. I'm serious.
You're right. I love how you said that.
So
that's funny.
It's a little bit crazy because they know, like, just being real, looking at Penn State's schedule, it's Minnesota undefeated at Minnesota, Indiana, mm-hmm. who's better than Indiana's that we think about, at Ohio State.
Yep.
And you finish up with Rutgers. I mean, it's non-consequential, that last game that they play. But their next two road games, their final two of this season, are challenges for them.
Yeah, they are.
It's almost like they're saying, Clemson, we know that Penn State's not going to be above you because there's no way they're getting through with what's going to happen. But you guys have been jacking around too much. Go show us why you belong in the top four.
That would be interesting. It very well might be the case, but that's a dangerous game to play.
I agree.
What if Penn State surprises
us?
What if Penn State is a little bit better than we think?
They
are pretty good.
But
good.
If that happens, if Penn State beats Minnesota, they beat Indiana, they beat Ohio State.
Well, they're not going to beat Ohio State.
I'm just saying, if they
if they lose to Ohio State? What if they lose? Here's the thing. What if they lose in a very representative game? Where's that game again? The Shoe?
It's in the Horseshoe.
In Columbus,
and
right.
So they're one loss. They lose by 3 points. They're one.
Even if they lose by a touchdown, 28-21, and they maintain their four standing and they're even up to three before that game.
And they're a one loss,
yeah,
non-Big Ten championship competitor. They're one loss,
yes,
non-Big Ten championship competitor.
Correct.
Ohio State ends up being the Big Ten champion.
What happens to them?
They're in that spot where Alabama was a couple of years ago.
But without the pedigree.
Without the pedigree.
Which somehow filters in because we're human beings.
That's right.
And they're human beings in the
room.
That's right. They can pretend it doesn't matter, but they know what they accomplished. And you have to give them the benefit of the doubt, even if that's not part of the criteria. No, it's interesting. And listen, one thing we hit in the first hour, we wanted to know why. We don't disagree with this. We do think that in terms of just optics, Ohio State looks to be the most well-rounded, most explosive, fundamentally defensive and offensively sound football team so far this year. But here's an answer that I want to hear. And this was Rob Mullins, again, the CFP Selection Committee chairperson. He's also the AD at Oregon. He was asked why Penn State is ahead of Clemson, something you and I just talked about. I want to hear his answer, though, why they're ahead of Clemson in the initial rankings.
Obviously a very good team, undefeated for sure. But when you look at them relative to the people that were kind of in the same range, particularly Penn State, who's right above them, Penn State has marquee wins against Michigan and at Iowa. And for the committee, that was a separator. Two very, very, very good teams. But those two marquee wins were a separator.
Okay, so he substantiated it.
I like Penn State. I saw them play in person at the Whiteout. Sean Clifford, their new starting quarterback, is really good, takes care of the football, 20 touchdowns to 3 interceptions on the season. They run the ball, and it's not like one guy. It's Noah Kane, who's a freshman, and Journey Brown. They pound the rock. But Sean Clifford, their quarterback, is their leading attempter. He has 77 attempts on the season, and he scores with his legs as well.
He does.
KJ Hamler, who I told you I love off air because he reminds me of AJ.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little kid, but he's a burner, man.
Receiver.
AJ's my son, by the way. He's this burner who can just wide open the field. Mm-hmm. And if you try to blitz this team, you know what their default, side adjuster route is? A go. So if you blitz and play cover zero against Penn State,
yeah,
they're running a go route. And KJ Hamler's beating whoever you have on him.
Do you know how many times off the top of your head they've actually hit on that play this year?
Well, I saw it in person against Penn State.
I know you did against Penn State.
Against Michigan.
Against Michigan.
The Michigan defender was 20 yards off. He was 20 yards off, and he still ran by him.
20 yards.
It was unbelievable because you bring everybody and play man coverage.
Yep.
And what you think is, as a defender, the ball's got to come out quick.
Yeah.
All I got to do is tackle him.
Yeah.
He might get a first down, but all I got to do is tackle him. And so you're squatting on waiting for this quick adjustment route, this hook or this slant or whatever it is.
Got it.
And he just runs down your throat and runs by you?
You're not prepared to retreat.
You can't.
Yeah, because you wouldn't think that they'd have enough time to make the throw.
Especially with this kid Hamler, who is a blazer.
What does he run 40?
Is he
4.3 change?
Yeah, he's 4.2. He's 4.2 something.
Wow.
So he is fast.
4.2 change?
He is fat, and he's cocky. And
all right.
Like, in an awesome way.
Yeah.
So, we talk about the pedigree that Penn State doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
They actually do have the players. And we talked earlier also, at least 2 weeks ago, BT, 3 weeks ago when I did that game.
Yep.
Their defense is stout.
No, we know their defense is terrific. That we know.
1.6 or 7 yards per carry they're giving up on the season.
That's what we first started praising them, and then we start to see other elements that I think obviously elevates them to a top four standing. They're
not just
a defensive team.
It's unlikely, but it's possible.
Okay. Coming up next here, Tommy Bowden will throw some of this by the former Clemson head coach. Of course, he's part of the ACC Network. He's an analyst, good friend of the show. Tommy Bowden joins us next. Talk a little college football playoff rankings on Tiki and Tierney. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. 1-855-212-4CBS. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. You can go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15%. Or more on car insurance. We have questions. We need answers. I mean, not too many questions. I think for the most part, Teague and I have a pretty good grip about the rankings, you know, what it means, what it represents, the possibilities. But there's still a few things that we would like to circle back to and to help us do that and get a set on the get a set for the weekend, LSU, Alabama, all the circumstances. We get deep into the college football season. We're joined by Tommy Bowden, former Clemson head coach and analyst for the ACC Network. Coach, welcome back. How you been, bud?
Good. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Coach? Look, one thing we got to ask you is how bad should we feel for NC State? Because after the College Football Playoff Committee left Clemson out of the top four, you know, they're getting the full brunt of Dabo Sweeney's offense and defense.
Lay the points.
Well, you know, he's always played as kind of a stepchild in college football. You know, he got the job as not ever being a coordinator and had to prove himself as a head coach. He did that. Now Clemson, you get much respect. He's had to earn that. He's done that. And so I feel sorry for NC State. Dabo's a master at motivation as an underdog. So yeah. He'll use that to his full advantage.
Tommy, do you think that the nation, in large swooping brush here, that the nation overreacted to the near loss to North Carolina? Since then, they've ripped off at least three, maybe even four wins. Mm-hmm. They're putting points up. They're getting separation. They're just starting to destroy teams. But obviously, Mack Brown was a two-point conversion away from really changing the entire landscape. Do you think people are too hung up on an ugly win?
Well, they were kind of, Clemson, unfortunately, is a no-win situation. If they, a close loss to North Carolina, say, well, gosh, maybe Clemson's not that good. When they blow out the other teams, they say, well, the ACC's not that good.
So
it's hard for them to win. But, yes, I do think they were penalized, but unfortunately, it's an extremely weak year in the ACC. And unfortunately, you might have another four-loss, five-loss Coastal Division champion, jeez, which is not going to hurt them again.
Yeah, no, exactly. Virginia's likely to be that team. I mean, could Virginia lose to Georgia Tech this weekend? I mean, absolutely they could.
They're not losing that game.
I mean, I wouldn't think so either, but I didn't think they would. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. You know, when you look at the larger picture of the college football playoff, it feels to us, and we were just talking about this, that the committee is kind of setting up forward scenarios. So, you know, Penn State's got to play Ohio State. First, they got to get through Minnesota. But it's almost like one of these teams is losing, and so Clemson is going to get a chance to jump back in. The same thing happens this weekend with LSU and Alabama. Do you think the committee is doing, the right job in creating, like, forward-thinking scenarios? It makes us talk about it, which I think is a great thing, but it also feels a little bit unfair when you consider, like, a Big Ten undefeated like Minnesota's way down at 16, or Big Ten or a Big 12 undefeated Baylor is at 14. It's almost like they don't even have a chance, even if they have spectacular seasons.
Well, I think one of the things the committee does, it looks to me like they do, and I'm not in their meetings, but also they look like the quality of the talent on the team, the ability of the offensive skill or defensive pass rushers or whatever. I think they really take that into consideration. And if you look at the talent level of those four teams, in a Clemson and a Georgia, and then a Baylor and a Minnesota, they're so far behind talent-wise, even though they are undefeated. So I think the committee has really taken that into consideration as far as the overall quality of the talent and can they make plays mm-hmm. in a critical situation or a tough game.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that philosophy. That's yeah. Tommy Bowden, by the way, ACC Network analyst, former head coach of Clemson. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Tommy, do us a favor. Forget about the rankings for a moment. Suspend what you know about their pedigree, recent programs, pedigree, reputation. Top to bottom, who's the best team right now in college football and why?
I think right now, based on nine games, however many they play, eight or nine, and who they've beaten, I would say LSU. Defense, quarterback make big plays, offensive skill, but based on who they've beaten, not the potential, like an Ohio State has two good wins,
mm-hmm.
and they've beaten a two-loss Cincinnati and two-loss Indiana, and they have good talent. But if you put it equal to LSU's, LSU has more impressive wins.
But does LSU have more talent than Ohio State?
Well, you know, they might have a little bit better talent, but based on what's been accomplished so far this year, I would give it to LSU. And now, if you want to say, okay, well, who's got the best talent? I would say Ohio State does a little bit better talent, but it hasn't been tested like LSU's.
Yeah, okay. Coach, let's talk about Alabama a little bit. Obviously, they're in a tricky spot. perceptually at least, probably not in actuality because Nick Saban is such a fantastic head coach, but perceptually with Tua nursing that high ankle sprain that he had surgery on and he may or may not be healthy for this weekend. And Mac Jones, who played in his stead 2 weeks ago, actually looked pretty good. Now, he has three of the best wide receivers, maybe combination in the history of college football with that group that they have at Alabama. But where do you see Alabama? And, you know, if they lose, are they necessarily out?
I think they will be out simply because of strength of schedule and quality of wins.
Yeah.
They won't have quality wins. Auburn, if they lose again to say Georgia, it won't be as big of a quality win. So one loss was really going to hurt Alabama. Texas A&M, you know, they beat them at Texas A&M, but Clemson beat them at Clemson, but they didn't have materialized to be a really quality team this year. So I think the one loss to Alabama this year will keep them out.
Yeah. Do you think it matters if Tua doesn't play? Does that change our thinking about them?
That's a good question.
Oh, yeah. I think you're looking at the potential Heisman Trophy winner. But a guy that's really accurate, and as you watch Jones play, you see him miss some throws that would be touchdowns or big plays with really runnable balls or runnable that the receiver can catch and run with. So, yeah, I think it makes a huge difference if he's not available. And I think the committee would take that into consideration.
Coach, what do you think of Oregon? Where do you throw them into this equation here? I mean, I know they need to win out, but how viable truly are they when you match them up against the top teams in the nation?
You know, they're nobody knows much about them because, you know, they're on late. You don't see them as much. They're a talented team. I don't think they're as talented as the five right now, the four playoff people, and Clemson, maybe probably not even Georgia. So I think the loss is going to keep them out regardless of what they do the rest of the year. But they've got good talent. I don't think they have as much depth. And critical defensive talent across the board.
So you think that they're properly slotted. But I want to throw this by you here because, you know, circumstances matter. Tiki just asked about what happens if Alabama loses and Tua doesn't play. How would that change the tone in the room as they go back and they revise the rankings? But, you know, we had Coach Cristobal on a couple of days ago here on Tiki and Tierney, Oregon head coach, doing a great job. You know, we all know they played Auburn over Labor Day, which on a neutral site, a top team from a top conference, they lost a tight game that they really controlled most of without their top three wide receivers. And I feel like when you get to this point, everybody talks about the nuance for the other team, but nobody really defends Oregon with the nuance of their season. I don't believe much in biases, but I do believe there is a little negative anti-Pac-12 bias that's not fair, and it's permeating the thinking of many people this year.
I would agree with you to a certain extent. You know, once you cross the Mississippi, you know, viewer attendance and you know, football was supposedly invented east of Mississippi, not west of Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people still believe that, and unfortunately, it might be a little biased. But if you look at the track record of the Pac-12 over the last 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 years, there's nothing really they hang their hat on other than Southern Cal years ago with Reggie Bush and Pete Carroll.
Stanford had a couple of really good years.
So, yeah, but never really got close to the playoffs.
No, I got you. I hear you. Okay. All right. Yeah. Talking to Tommy Bowden with us here, former Clemson head coach, ACC Network analyst. We're getting the scoop on the rankings, Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, now you mentioned this a little bit earlier about Tua and the Heisman Trophy. And, you know, we're not quite there for the Heisman Trophy yet. But, you know, Joe Burrow looks really good. Even Justin Fields could be in this conversation. Tua is obviously a part of it as well. But the more interesting one to me is Jalen Hurts, really, because what Lincoln Riley has done at Oklahoma the last couple of years with his quarterbacks. And, yes, that was a rough loss for them against Kansas State a week or so ago. But he still had a great game. Jalen Hurts, could he steal the Heisman Trophy because of how well he's played all season long, both with his arm, he's very accurate, and with his legs?
I don't think there's any doubt. If they went out and he plays well, I think he could easily win it.
Yeah.
And you got to remember with what he did at Alabama, the way he handled himself, he's going to have the heart of a lot of the media of how he handled adversity.
Great point.
And I think that'll tug on their heartstrings a little bit.
All right, Tommy, let's bring it full circle. Again, Tommy Bowden, former coach at Clemson. So we hit, you know, all the pertinent teams here, got a thought on the rankings, multiple thoughts here. Trevor Lawrence, you know, perceptually, he's definitely taken a step back this year. He's made a lot of mistakes that we didn't see a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What has happened? I still love the kid big picture, but he's not what we thought he'd be as a sophomore. What's happened so far this year to him?
You know, I agree with you. I know Dabo gets sensitive when you say that because he starts throwing out statistics. But when you look at the interceptions and the way he plays, it just hasn't been as sharp and crisp. And whether that's that sophomore jinx a lot of people talk about, he might have been the preseason favorite to win the Heisman. And I'm not challenging his work ethic at all, but sometimes I just think that's an awful big burden for guys. He's only a true sophomore, was not redshirted. And with what he accomplished versus Alabama, putting the points up against them, that was an awful high standard he goes into the season. And I don't think when he didn't meet it and didn't exceed it, I think it just frustrated a lot of people, including him.
Yeah, so just separating Saturdays from Sundays for a moment, you still see a toolbox that has every weapon to be the first overall pick next year, right, as a junior?
Did you say Tua?
No, toolbox. Like, he still has all the tools to translate.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The one thing he's got that height that the NFL likes because of the big offensive line, defensive line, and stuff. Yep. I think that's one thing he's got going for him.
All right, Coach, I'm sure we'll get you back on at some point to make sense. Maybe another curveball as these rankings keep coming out each week. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Tommy.
Hey, Tiki, I'm going on my father's 90th birthday on Friday.
Oh, wow.
I was telling you to say happy birthday.
Absolutely. Tell Coach Bowden I said happy birthday, one of my favorite people that I've ever met or had the privilege to play against. So, absolutely. Happy birthday to your pops.
He gets convulsions when I bring your name up, so I finish him off. I'm going to tell him anyway.
Hey, Tommy, can I add this for the entire football community? Happy birthday from all of us, too.
Yeah, true.
I mean, your dad's an institution.
I'll relay the message. I appreciate it.
Much love to him, man. Thank you, Coach.
Be good, Coach.
Tiki had to get that little dagger back in the day on Thursday night.
Nice, he did.
Stick it to him a little bit.
We beat him this year, too. Different Florida State team.
This year, who cares?
I mean, come on.
May as well beat Liberty. That's about how good they are. I think Liberty might be better, actually. Liberty's not a bad program. They're
right.
Putting out a few bros.
That's right. That's true.
All right. Ack's update is right now. Ack, how are your hands? Get ready. Ack, where's the hands? Woo! Nice, Ack. That a boy. Off the microphone, too.
Two catches, but he got it.
Look at the hand eye. Bang off the mic. He followed it. You ready for update?
That's what we would say. On one catch per ball when guys would bobble it.
Hey,
one
no
catch,
one... It hit the mic.
No, I threw it off the mic. He didn't bobble.
Nice.
It hit the mic.
I thought it hit your hand.
His eyes? No, that
concentration.
Was, that was
laser-like.
Then that would be the tip drill. Good job, Mac.
All right. Update for Mac right now. Here he is. All right. Oh, you got to love Run DMC. You got to love him. Aerosmith Pacman, you know, through the wall. Great video.
You should watch that show that I told you to watch on Netflix.
One? Which one?
Hip Hop Evolution.
I started to. I told you that.
Yeah, they get to that. I
didn't get into that. That's like what episode? Probably three-ish. In the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
It starts in the mid-70s up in Harlem.
Actually, it's probably like
episode two or three.
Like the second season, episode two or so.
Gotcha.
You'll get it.
I'm still.
There's only four episodes per season, so you'll get to it.
That's in the bank. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question. Coming in from CJ in Abilene, Texas. All right, guys, everybody's talking about Minnesota in the rankings here, but what about undefeated Baylor? If they went out and beat Oklahoma in 2 weeks, can they sneak in?
Well, the problem with Baylor, and I like Baylor, they're 14. They're actually in a more advantageous position than Minnesota is at 17, being a Power 5 undefeated squad, is that they have to play Oklahoma. If they beat Oklahoma, then they're going to play Oklahoma likely again in the Big 12 championship. And beating Oklahoma twice isn't going to boost them into the necessary category. So they're interesting, but I don't see their path. It's not clear.
Okay. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day on this Wednesday. Around the country here, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to the blast in a moment. Hey, Sunday, the NFL on CBS features the Chiefs taking on the Titans. Do we see a little Mahomes this week or what?
Yeah, I think we do.
I think we do as well. So the Chiefs will take on the Titans, who had won a few games in a row, but they're coming off a loss. Tannehill's still the quarterback, or an NFC encounter between the Lions and the Bears, all beginning with JB and the guys on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. By the way, before we get to the blast, we had Jerry Rice the other day. We had Coach Cristobal from Oregon. Obviously, great stories, great conversations. Anything you miss of our show, just go to the radio.com app or CBSSportsRadio.com, iTunes. Again, radio.com app, iTunes, all the apps where you find apps. Tiki and Tierney, download it for free, click away, and you're good to go. Blast. Let's hit it.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Give it a microphone so I can hit you with a blast. Got a little cousin. His name is Dan. Tomlin says the stats don't tell the whole story about Juju Smith-Schuster.
How he's done relative to statistics are probably two different things, you know, because it doesn't happen in a vacuum. I've got no issues with how he's handled himself relative to some of those matchups, but statistics might not tell the story because, you know, a lot of things going on around him. I like his work. I like his professionalism. I like how he wins his one-on-ones. Hopefully it's a catalyst for us in terms of getting more traction and consistently moving the ball offensively.
That's a good explanation from Coach Tomlin there. Question is, are we buying it? Does this year show that Juju's not a true number one without AB?
No, I think it's hard to be the man. You know, I always used to say that to Brandon Jacobs. It's like, one of these days, BJ, I'm going to retire. You got to be the man. It's hard to be the man. And it's some growing pains. Eventually, he came into his own. He got a lot of help from the, what was he, Wind and Fire. So he was Earth, BJ, and Derek Ward and Ahmad Bradshaw, they were a big combination. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be fine. He's a talented wide receiver. He's athletic as hell. As soon as they get more consistency at the quarterback position, I think we'll start to see him shine like we did last year.
That's the answer. I mean, the question's framed around Antonio Brown, that he's not there. Obviously, yeah, you're going to get more attention. That's clear. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, you've had multiple quarterbacks throwing you the football. I mean, he played one game with Big Ben. He got hurt. So. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Tomlin is right. There's a work ethic is there. There's an integrity that is there. There's a speed. There's a hand element. There's a knack for making big plays. I think Juju will eventually be a no doubt first string, first rate, top of the line wide receiver. Or in other words, a number one option.
Yeah.
How about this, T? Tony Dungy rails against pass interference. Tony getting a little cranky lately. Railing a lot. About pass interference, the replay reviews, he urges the NFL to get rid of them. Has it been a waste so far? Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it has been. I mean, we sit there every single Sunday, and there's things that seem pretty blatant to us.
Mm-hmm.
Coach throws the red flag on the field, and invariably, he's going to stuff it back in his pocket, dissatisfied with the outcome.
That's right.
Because they don't reverse it. So I know why they're doing this. The committee voted to implement this, but I think that what they're doing, they're trying to make it so that, hey, listen, we can make this a game that nobody wants to watch. If we start acquiescing too much, we're going to abide by our law, and you need to follow how we see it.
No, I think that's about right, BT. We've seen this so many times. You throw the flag, and it's a non-call, you're not going to get it. They're not going to put a flag on the field. Basically, that's it. They're not going to put a flag on the field. They'll take one off.
Yes.
But they won't put one on the field.
And even then, not too much.
And then, exactly right. They don't want this rule. They like the conceptualization of it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually want this thing.
This will be gone next year.
No doubt about it.
They will go back to the boardroom, and this will be out. The Thunder now, 3-4 after a win over the Magic. Aren't playing too well. They won the South. Southeast division last year. But they're not looking too good, the Magic.
Right.
But the Thunder did win. So they're, you know, seven games, couple of wins without Russ Westbrook, obviously, different roster. Are they going to be better than we thought?
I mean, it's so early to say potentially, but my gut is no. I think they've been fortunate with their schedule, and they're winning games that they're probably not supposed to win. But is that sustainable? And the answer is probably no. They have some good players.
Yeah.
But I think they're a couple years away before we start saying they're going to win 50 games.
The problem is, though, in a couple of years, you know, Gallo's going to be mid-30s and gone. In a couple of years, CP3 is going to be retired.
That's
the
right.
Linchpin of this team is Gilgeous Alexander. Mm-hmm. That was the player. When they made the move that they made, I said, this is a kid that they are going to lament dumping. I thought it was a great get by them. I thought it was a very savvy move here. Now, listen, Diallo's a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. Schroeder's fine. He's been around a while. I've always liked Gallinari from the Knicks. He's a pretty good professional scorer. But they also lost to the Wizards. So,
that's
like,
right.
Most of the teams they've beaten are pretty bad,
yeah,
even though
Pelicans.
It's early. The Pelicans without Zion, whatever.
Warriors.
The Warriors without anybody. So, yeah. No, I don't think they're very good. But they're playing hard, and that's a starting point. You got to rebuild the culture. All right. CBS Sports reveals the top 50 Major League Baseball free agents. I was looking at this list the other day. Who's the biggest game changer? Is there anybody really worth that kind of money? For me, it's Garrett Cole. I mean, listen, you just see.
It's pitchers.
It's pitchers. I mean, and Rendon, we ran through his, you were out this day, his stats from the seventh inning on of every playoff game this year. Like, the worst thing he did was a walk. Couple of home runs, couple of doubles. He never made out.
Yeah.
So his clutch value was ridiculous. But Garrett Cole, to me, and even Steven Strasburg, in the right situation, are guys that you can give the baseball to, and they could drop the hammer in October. Yeah. And that's paramount. Look, you still need that.
To me, it's those two pitchers that you just mentioned. Anthony Rendon is interesting. Like, you're going to pay him a lot of money. He's not going to move the needle, per se, right? You're not going to get excited. Oh, I got to go see Anthony Rendon play. But he's going to help you win baseball games, and he's proven it. And he proved it as the Nationals are world champion. So
he's going to probably win the MVP.
Exactly. So, but you don't look at him like, man, this is like the iconic face of baseball.
Doesn't sell tickets like you just said.
Exactly. But he's going to help you win.
That's true.
And that's almost as, if not more, important.
All right, Memphis freshman. Bob, did you see the court last night at the FedEx Forum?
I didn't see it.
I don't know if CBS has this. If we're going to roll in some highlights of the young man. But possible number one overall pick, James Wiseman. Penny Hardaway. I mean, you know, he had a little Penny at Tyra Banks back, and now he's got a crew. I mean, Memphis, look at that court, Tiki. I mean, come on, man. What the hell is that? That is ridiculous.
Hey, they're trying to be blingish. I don't know.
A little Oregon-ish there, a little Oregon feel there. Okay. He was dominant. 28 points, 11 rebounds. I said very well might be the first overall pick in the draft. Penny looking good in the suit, looking good. And he is 7'1", 240. Most of the buckets were around the rim. I think there was only one lay-in with his left hand. Otherwise, everything was pretty much a dunk. How much faith do we have in Penny to bring Memphis back to elite status?
Well, I have a lot of faith in Penny because Penny's like his, I guess, tau, his aura is our generation.
Yes.
But it lives still. It's odd, right?
I know.
Like the little Penny thing that we always talk about, that's how I always remember him, and obviously a sick game. But
most
of these kids, they have no idea. They didn't see all that stuff. But for some reason, and I didn't really realize this until we talked to him at the Final Four this past year. It's like, dude, I still feel like you're Penny. You
know? Yeah, well, he's been coaching, too.
Not like Anthony Hardaway, but you're still Penny, like that brand.
I hear
you. And I think that's powerful when you go sit in the living room and you recruit. Because most of this is recruiting and getting kids like Wiseman, et cetera. So, yeah, I think he's definitely turning this thing around. We saw the first glimpses of it last night.
And there are some players in Memphis. I mean, I'm not saying that Memphis is necessarily, you know, the Baltimore area. And New York City's a little bit down. It has been for a while. But, you know, certain parts of L.A., Philly, obviously. But Memphis is, you know, Atlanta is very good. Memphis has some good, good high school players, some big-time powerhouse teams. Yeah, I totally believe in Penny. Number one, he has a conviction to coach, and he has a conviction to teach.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people try it, and it just doesn't work, you know. It's a grind. Coaching in college is a different element here, and I think Penny's going to do a real good job. He seems to have a real affinity for Memphis and for the school, Memphis, his alma mater. And listen, here's the thing. When they put on YouTube, they see an older, you know, a different generation, but they see moves that they make.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, and again, Larry Bird was a beast, but it's not like putting on YouTube and watching Larry Bird in the 80s. You watch Penny cross it over, dunk in, no-look passes. Penny's game then would fit right now, and that resonates with the kids.
Time's up.
Penny.
The blast is over for another
day. Penny Hardaway was so good.
We got robbed.
We got robbed. I mean, he was phenomenal, man. He was magic. He was magic, but he was a better athlete. You know, magic was,
because he was big like that. Just not.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Thick. He was like lean and.
Oh yeah, I think Penny's 6'7", Magic 6'9". So Magic had an inch and a half or two on him, but Penny was a better shooter. Just different gears. Like Magic was just long loping strides that got there. Penny can size you up, kind of hesitate, blur by you. Penny was, oh my god, Penny Hardaway was great. I love that basketball's back. You can tell we're fired up. Hoops is back. We'll get to see Cole Anthony tonight. Good luck, Cavaliers,
more
defending the title.
See the Cavaliers tonight.
Here
taking
we go.
On Cuse. I'm a little nervous, to be honest with you.
Well, you don't know what to expect. 40%, not 80% of the starting lineup is gone.
Yeah.
I would be a little nervous, too.
And like 60-something percent of the scoring as well.
Yeah, you're nervous. St. John's, we're playing Mercer. I'm really nervous. I don't even know if we're going to beat Mercer. The Mike Anderson era stars. Go get him, Mike. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday night. Enjoy yourself. Be careful. Peace. Got to go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.